Welcome to Idaho Speaks, the place to learn about candidates and issues important to Idaho. My name is Ed, and I created this channel to overcome the media bias that plagues our communities and our state. When presented all the information, I believe you, the voter, will make the best decision for our future. At Idaho Speaks, we will give you the side of the story being hidden by mainstream media and big tech giants. Idaho Speaks, your issues, your candidates, your state. Welcome to Idaho Speaks. With me in the studio today is Summer Bushnell. Summer, thank you so much for taking time to come in studio.
Thank you.
It's back to school time.
Yay, kind of.
Tired of having the kids at the house, send them off someplace else, let them go to school, except unless the school sucks. Did your kids' school okay?
We go to private school. Okay. I was a public school teacher a long time ago, so
yeah,
that's a big reason why.
Yeah, you know better.
And I'm not one of those parents that wants my kids to go away. It's just the abrupt change in schedule that really throws me for a loop, and I need extra coffee.
Well, see, I didn't have kids. My wife had kids, and they were grown when we got married, so I figure I saved a couple million bucks by not having to raise them.
And gray hairs
and prison time.
Yes.
I didn't have to serve any prison time for killing some boy trying to date my daughter because I know what those boys want. But my goodness.
There's so many random topics we can cover.
What an important race that's coming up this November, though. All of these school board races. And, you know, and I know people listening to our voice right now are saying, how do we make a decision? I don't know these people. These are brand new politicians. I've never seen their name in the paper before. I've never gone to a meeting where they spoke. I think what we do see in the paper is we see just this vitriolic hate.
Why are we reading the paper?
Well, you got to.
No, you don't.
Well, no, you do have to.
I don't read the local paper unless someone else brings it to me. I don't watch the mainstream news, and I pretty much know what's going on. You have to find alternative sources. It's a little part-time job.
You're an
job.
Exception to the rule.
But I shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be. But, you know, when we moved here, we got the paper because we wanted to know what was happening local.
I think it's our age, though.
It might be.
Yes. I think it's definitely a generational thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm used to the ink on my fingers. And the kids, they're used to just looking at a computer screen or a cell phone.
Yep.
But still, you gotta get information from somewhere. And the information that's being put out by the local press is that the Political Action Committee, known as the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee, is bad and evil because they're taking a position. And this has been a head scratcher for me literally since the beginning. The first time I saw that, it's like, what moron wrote this article? What else are they supposed to do? If the KCRCC doesn't give an opinion, then they all should be fired, in my opinion.
Oh, it's the same person at the Coeur d'Alene Press, in my opinion, and that person doesn't do it as an editorial. They do it as a factual piece, which undermines their credibility.
Big time.
And then one article mentioned a certain school district race that shall stay unnamed. And they basically named every reason why, if I lived in that school district, I'd vote for him. So now it's like, whatever the Coeur d'Alene Press says, you pretty much want to vote the opposite. Every once in a while, they're right, but most of the time, they're wrong.
You know, I think it's even funny that the press made a comment that we didn't support the idea of the Central Committee, the Republican Central Committee, for Jeff Tyler. We thought Jeff Tyler was going to be a bad decision, and turns out Jeff Tyler's pretty good. You know, he lowered taxes. He's really been working as a good team member. But we think we still stand on our decision that he was bad for the overall process. It's like they try to have it both ways. When what we really need as a community, in my humble opinion, is we need as many of these organizations like the Republican Central Committee to do their vetting process, and I'm going to ask you about that here in just a minute, but to do their vetting process and come up with their recommendation. Here's who we think, based on this criteria, you should support.
And I think it's funny that everyone seems to be perturbed by the rating and vetting system, because any publicity is good publicity.
Well, that's right.
Everybody's talking about it. And my main comment, I went on next door and said this. I think I've said this on a bunch of different social media platforms. Oh my God, someone disagrees with you. What are you going to do? It's the end of the world.
That's right. Someone on Facebook disagrees. Oh my goodness, I'm crushed. I can't do this. I can't go on anymore.
I'm thinking, if you have the energy, interview the people, come out with your own suggestions. Start your own blog. There's tons. If you have the time to complain, make the time to make a difference if you think the central committee's so wrong. And I even disagree with two of their endorsements.
Yeah, in the last
one. Oh, no, what are we going to do? It's the end of the world. Yeah, not.
In the last one, there was a couple of names on there that I didn't agree with. And fortunately, they weren't in my city. I wasn't voting for them. But if they were, I wouldn't have voted for them. You know, I am capable of making up my own mind. But I do like to know what somebody else is going to choose. Just like, have you ever done this? You go to dinner with your spouse, and you're sitting down and you're both looking into menus, and comes out of your mouth, what are you going to have? I'm going to have the fish. Ooh, I was thinking of having the fish. Oh, but now you're having a fish. I can't have the fish. So I've got to have the steak. You have the fish, I'll have the steak. Isn't that kind of like what's happening here now? The Republican Party says, oh, we like so-and-so, and the newspaper comes out, oh, well, because you like so-and-so, we hate him.
Yeah.
So
you didn't contact me about being in it. 2 months of emails trying to call. And I know that there was one incumbent, luckily I don't know who it is, but called the day of the voting. I want to be vetted and be included. You had 2 months to respond.
Late. Yeah, a little late. I will name drop on one. I reached out to Kiki Miller. And I'm only doing this because she said it in front of witnesses. I was at a meeting, at a community group meeting. I won't name the name, and there were other people standing around. And I said to her, you should come on Idaho Speaks. Love to have a conversation about you running for re-election. And she said, you know, I went on Idaho Speaks, and I poked around and listened to a few episodes. And really, I don't think any of your listeners would vote for me, so I'm going to pass.
So is she saying Republicans or conservative, liberty-minded people shouldn't vote for her? Because to me, that's kind of implied that's not good. She's ignoring a good chunk of voters.
Well, when the two people standing next to us kind of chuckled and went, whoa, I just let it loft right there. I just let that one, you know, it's kind of like passing gas in public. You know, it's just going to leave that alone. Let that one waft out so that the real victim is the one who has to pay for it.
That seems like a little bit of TMI.
TMI. Sorry, I'm a guy. Well, but, you know, these candidates, they feel like, oh, you didn't come to me and beg me to come on your program, or you didn't, you know, email me and send a registered letter and confirm that I received it in order to invite me to be part of your vetting process, so therefore I didn't hear about it. It just seems like these people, you knew you were running. You knew the Republican Party vets you. Why were you waiting? Why didn't you reach out to them?
Especially if you're a new person, you might miss that kind of stuff if you're not contacted. But when you're an incumbent, to me, it's the Watchman Ministry does a questionnaire and they post stuff. And now the Central Committee, if you look, you know, if I had a campaign email, look in your junk box. I bet there's a bunch in there, you know, of just things Google or Apple have labeled junk that might not be. So to me, it's like, you should be reaching out to them to some extent. There should be a halfway point.
Well, and when I ran for office, I did. And the Women's League of Voters, there was a real estate body, there's the business groups. I reached out to all of them. I'd love to come sit down and talk to your group. I was the candidate. I was proactive. I mean, I'm trying to run for an office. Why is it somebody else's responsibility to come to me? That's kind of silly. So you have some direct knowledge of how the vetting process works. So lay it out for the listeners. What's the whole process that the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee goes through when they're vetting candidates?
Well, I know months before they start looking to see, has anybody been talking about running? Because sometimes you literally have people that are really into education, let's say, and they don't know they can run for school board. So they start looking, okay, what things are going to be open? do we have people that are interested in running? If they do, they start a couple months before, interview them. There's a whole group of people. Some are on the central committee, some aren't. They make suggestions and give comments when it comes to the voting time. You have two meet and greets where everybody that's filed to run is welcome to come. And you get to talk with central committee people. And I'm forgetting something else. And the questionnaires. You fill out the questionnaire. And that gets put online with a picture that you submit.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the last two central committee meetings. And before both of the meetings, there was a meet and greet period. The candidates were there and precinct committee members, they came in and they wandered around the room and they talked to the candidates and asked them questions. Was it just the two times or did they do it?
No, it's the two times.
The two times. So
previously in the spring, they had tried to do that kind of thing with everybody at one time. And there was no way to talk with everybody. So even though it was more work in the long run, it was better to have two groups of people.
You know, as a reporter, you know, I'm not a journalist, but as a reporter, I went to the meeting with microphone in hand. See my new mic, by the way? Isn't that cool?
It's pretty. It's got your logo.
The logo and everything. So I went there to the meeting and I said, I'd like to talk to the candidates. And the gentleman who was coordinating that, he says, we'd like you to wait till after, either before we start or after, because this time's devoted to the precinct committee members. And I said, hey, I totally respect that. I do not want to interfere in any way, shape, or form. And I stood off on the side and I tried to record people. It was just too noisy. I couldn't get any good
audio.
It's
chaos in there when you...
So, okay.
30 people talking at the same time.
So how many people from the central committee are involved in the vetting process?
I don't have an exact number, but I would say 70-80% of the diversity committee that does the interviews, they record them. So there's no he said, she said. They ask more detailed questions than the candidate questionnaire.
So it seems pretty thorough. Now
are mistakes going to be made? Duh. I love how everyone pounces on all the mistakes. Oh my God, they weren't perfect. Even I don't think they're perfect. But every time, because someone made a comment... This is like chaos. And I'm like, oh, the herding of these cats is way better than the last two times. And they just look at me like, are you kidding me? Yes, the herding of the cats this time was much more organized. And every time it's getting refined, but it's definitely not perfect.
Well, you know, when I talked to Bill Brooks, I love to bring up my favorite guy. And when I talked to Bill Brooks about what is the role of the Central Committee, if not to vet people running for office? And his answer was, well, give them money to run for office. I said, well, how do they know who to give the money to? They're just going to start randomly writing checks to everybody? There's not enough money to go around. So
I think, if I remember right, and this could be quite a ways back, so I might be incorrect, they would give an equal amount to each candidate after the primary. I do not think they do that anymore. Now you get some signs bought for you. There's some Facebook ads run saying you're endorsed, and that's the extent of how they help.
Well, and I think this vetting, because there is no primary. Now, you know, the race is the race for city council, for school board, fire district. I think what the Central Committee has done is just fantastic. And do I agree with all of the results? No, but I think what they're doing is fantastic. All of the graphics have been done, and they're being posted on social media. The announcement at least was submitted to the paper. The paper, I doubt, will.
Well, and I wish they had had someone check it because I got an email saying two people's names were spelled wrong, so I passed that on to Rob. But that's going to happen with people's names.
Absolutely. Well, especially a name like Bejarana. You know, people are, how do you pronounce that name? Yeah. So what else? What else is happening in the Central Committee?
I think it's just crunch time for getting people elected. I love how everyone says these races are nonpartisan. When has politics ever been nonpartisan? I feel like that's the drum that a lot of liberals keep. Oh my God, you have competition.
You know,
it's not everything's partisan. Everyone has a personal bias and you can do your best to be as unbiased as you can. But I don't understand those comments. That doesn't make sense.
You know, it's funny. Now I've come from very partisan communities, California and Oregon, and they were left-leaning partisan communities. And when someone would make the argument, I never made it because I think it's a stupid argument, but when somebody would make the argument, oh, you shouldn't be talking about political affiliation for these non-party races. The Democrats would always say, except that's the people who are voting. They are making up the population, and most of the population is Democrat. So absolutely the Democrats should have a say in who is running and not running. So
and this, I think, too, some people don't understand when it's a nonpartisan race, there is no party affiliation after your name.
Right.
Because there are people I know, and I tease them endlessly, they will vote for the R or the D or Constitution Party or Libertarian. And that doesn't happen in these races. So this makes the sample ballot, the sample, you know, who we recommend voters guide, more important, because you have to remember their names.
Well, but it's always been partisan, as you said. We are Democrats and Republicans. So it totally makes sense that we would want the Democrats and the Republicans who have volunteered to serve on the central committees of their choice.
Did you say, oh, okay. Yeah. You confused me. I thought you said there were Democrats on the Republicans.
No. The Democrats have their central committee. The Republicans have their central committee. There's no independent central committee, is there?
Not that I'm aware of.
No libertarian central committee, right?
I don't think so.
It's just the Democrats and the Republicans who have these central committees. But then there's organizations like League of Women Voters. There's Health Freedom Idaho. There's dozens and dozens of organizations.
Yeah.
And every one of them comes out with a suggestion of who they think you should vote for. For that matter, so does the newspaper. The newspaper comes out with, here's who we think you should vote for. And I, personally, I think that's totally fair.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the way our system is supposed to work. You got a voice, use your voice, so then people can judge, oh, you're having fish for dinner?
And I think some people, they haven't had competition, and they're not used to it. If you don't like the Cooney GOP's guide, be their competition.
Right. Well, and
competition,
I think,
makes everybody better.
Well, and I think when you come in and you're in the extreme minority, like the Democrats are in Idaho, and they want to take over the state and fundamentally transform the operation, they're just going to complain about, well, it's unfair because there's so many Republicans and we don't ever get a say. Well, you know, if you were reasonable and you know, thought-provoking and had ideas that a majority of people resonated with, I bet you would win elections. But when you don't have ideas that the majority of the population resonate with, you know, you don't win a race.
Or in our county, they go and register as Republican and pretend to be Republican.
We're going to take a little break to hear from a sponsor.
Coeur d'Alene needs a conservative mayor who listens to the voice of its residents. Joe Alfieri is our only solid choice for mayor in this coming November 2nd vote. A leader and a listener, Alfieri is strong on conservative values. With community burdensome growth already underway, we need sound planning and strong insight, limiting local government control over our future. Planning is everything. No easy endorsements, no rubber stamping of decisions. Joe Alfieri has the sound, moral, and strong talent of a solid decision maker. Vote Joe Alfieri for mayor, November 2nd, 2021. Paid for by Vote Joe for CDA campaign, Caroline Alfieri, treasurer.
Yeah, we, you know, I moderated a discussion forum at Health Freedom Idaho over at Candlelight Church this last weekend. And I asked that question. I got to ask that question of the panel. Colton Boyle, running for Attorney General of Idaho, I got to ask him that question from a legalistic standpoint. You know, what is the legal position of Democrats openly changing party for the primaries just so that they could choose or have an influence on which Republican is seated? And, you know, while there's nothing legal against it.
Correct. I think it should stay that way because I strongly believe in the right to be stupid.
But at the same token, I think it should be public.
Well, the clerk's office can see it. They know exactly who. Because you have to re-register. They have the records. So it's not like it's a big secret, but yeah, they don't publicly.
No.
Now you're making me think I need to do a public information request. Wheels churning.
Yeah. Well, you notice when a candidate who was formerly Republican changed his party to become independent.
Yeah.
The newspaper took his picture, wrote an article, made a big to-do about it. But when Democrats changed their party to Republican to vote in the primary, crickets. Nothing. So there's a bias, and that's that bias that I'm trying to fight.
Yeah.
My feeling is if you're going to play this game, be open about it. Be transparent about it. But they try to say, oh, no, we're fair, we're balanced. No, you're not. You want Democrats to win. Just say it. And that way, everybody knows exactly who you are and what you stand for.
Well, and also with like the local news channels in Spokane, I think it was the most recent Coeur d'Alene School District meeting. What footage did they run? Two people with masks who say they're unbiased when they're not. One of them's employed at one of the schools. Did they show any of the, even a snapshot or a footage of how many people in that meeting didn't have masks on or any of the parents that had the opposite opinion? No. And then they wonder why they're losing credibility. They should show both sides.
Well, and I don't want to name names, but one of the board members who said that they're not going to rerun goes to my church. And, you know, wouldn't you know it that the individual who had been advocating for wearing a mask doesn't wear a mask in public. And
I think there's multiple reports of that person doing that.
You know, it's kind of
like, I appreciate consistency, even if I don't agree with you. Consistency in views and beliefs is so important.
Well, and I've been a champion for, you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. I'm not going to shame you. You want to wear that mask, you want to get vaccinated, I got vaccinated, get vaccinated. You don't want to get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. You don't want to wear
a
mask.
I'm part of the control group. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We got to have the control group. But when they go to an authoritative position and then they make a judgment statement that it's wrong for people to not protect the lives of other people by refusing to wear a mask or refusing to get vaccinated, and then that individual goes into public without wearing a mask, the hypocrisy is dripping.
Yeah. And that's where I start tuning them out.
Now, I did invite that particular individual to come on Idaho Speaks, and I will be fair with them because I believe you should hear why this person, A, is not going to run again, and B, was so wishy-washy on the mask mandate. So,
and then you look at statistics for kids that have died of COVID, kids that have been in the ICU, even locally or statewide or COVID, and it just doesn't match up.
You know, the thing about COVID, the strongest argument in favor of the vaccination mandate, which I got to qualify right up front, I'm against the mandate. You want to take the vaccine, take the vaccine. You don't want it, don't. I am totally against the government telling you, you got to do anything. But that said, the strongest argument for mandatory vaccination is the clogging up of the hospitals. When people get sick at a higher rate and then the hospital services are hampered, and I know you want to jump in. Let me finish because I know. I could see it in her face. It's like, getting ready to explode. But let me finish. So you got a bunch of people that are sick. They're in the hospital. And now people with heart attacks and strokes are not able to get the care. But I look at this as like a mass casualty event. The same thing would happen if there was a flood, a tornado, an earthquake. I've been through several earthquakes where the entire community is devastated and the hospitals are inundated. My solution to that is just set up the tents. We have them. We have mobile hospital units.
We do not anymore. We'd have to request them again.
But they're available. Yeah. You know, just the same as the ventilators had to be built. When New York was claiming that there's going to be 26,000 people die because there's not enough hospital beds, what did the president do? He built tens of thousands of hospital spaces and brought in the staff necessary to man them. It is possible. Everything in America is possible. And when I hear somebody say, oh, it just can't be done, to me, that is an argument against America rather than an American ideal. I think what we are struggling with right now is people are more interested in making a political statement than they are getting through the situation.
Well, there's a two-parter to that. I think what I've come to realize over the years is the people making the decisions in healthcare are not necessarily the doctors. So you have those decisions being made by people that aren't as involved in the medical field. And I've got a couple people that work in different parts of Kootenai Health, and every time Kootenai Health puts out something, I get texts that say, this is pure poop. They are lying. Who am I going to believe? The CEO who has a money-driven agenda, or people I actually know that work at the hospital? Well, and I post that stuff on Facebook and other social media, and people get so mad. And what I hear is, we have more than enough beds. They treat their staff like crap. They have a poor work environment. They don't pay enough. And so they don't have enough staff. And then the critical care thing people are freaking out about, it's called triaging. If you come in with something in your eye and someone comes in with a heart attack, gosh, I wonder who's going to get help first. Duh.
Yeah, I think this is a simple problem. It's a complex solution, but it's a simple problem. We set up portable units.
We need staff.
Well, but staff can be provided by the National Guard.
Why?
Why not?
Because then the federal government ends up running most of the hospital, and that in the long run, if it's definitely got a beginning and end, I think in a crunch time, that's good. But
key.
I'm worried when the federal government comes in, they don't tend to leave like Afghanistan for 20 years. You know, that's where I get worried.
Well,
even though I do know the same staff is very happy that they have DOD nurses to come help.
Except I've seen it. I've seen it happen. Earthquake, California, 1989. The entire region is devastated. The National Guard comes in, sets up mobile hospital units. There's mobile soup kitchens. They weren't there but just a few months, and then they're gone. Massive fire in Los Alamos, New Mexico, burns down most of the town. People are displaced galore. FEMA comes in. They set up their trailers. Yeah, those trailers are still there, but FEMA's not. FEMA's not there anymore.
Oh, let's not go on FEMA. FEMA's one of the few times FEMA actually did its job, in my opinion.
You're right. And there's a ton.
Because you could talk about Katrina, and they messed that up.
There's
big time.
A ton of stuff where they do it wrong, but they're not still on the ground in Katrina.
Yeah.
They go in, they do their job, and then they leave. The disaster relief services that we have in America are second to none. Everybody in the world calls on America when they've got a disaster. Earthquake in Iran, they call on America. There's a major typhoon in Japan, they call on America. There's a nuclear power plant that blows up in Russia. Okay, it took them a while.
They don't call America.
It took them a while, but eventually they called us, and then we built the catacomb that finally covered it up.
Yep.
So America is the place people go to get their problems solved. And somehow we've got people here locally that believe America can't solve our own pandemic problem.
I think it can be solved. I think there's more money they can get from inaction. And I can't prove that. That's just a gut feeling of mine.
And that very well may be. And I think you're right. I think there may be a financial incentive.
And let's think through the work environment too. So you can work on a patient together with someone. You can't eat lunch with them. If you share food, people tattle on you. So you can't even like hang out with your coworkers at a break time. And if you want to have a meeting with the same person you've been working on the same patient with, you have to do a video call or email them. Why would people want to stay for that? And then there's this looming threat of vaccinating, which they still claim they're not doing. And guess what? I think their pants are on fire. I think eventually it's coming.
Yeah.
And that makes for people wanting to go elsewhere.
You know what? I think excluding family from the treatment is wrong. Now, I have...
Not legally, but I think morally and ethically, people get better when they have support, period.
Well, when my wife was in the hospital, I was there every waking minute. Nobody said, visiting hours are over. Yep, I'm staying right here. I slept in the room. I was with her the entire time. I felt the care we've received at Kootenai Health was good. When I had my stroke, it was excellent. My wife when she had her episode, it was excellent. I have no complaints. Same with VA. I don't have any complaints with VA. I maybe I'm just lucky. I know a lot of people have had bad experiences. But when they exclude the family member from being able to stay with the patient, there's a hit on the health services. Because when my wife was in the hospital, there was a lot that I did that a caregiver didn't have to do, that a medical assistant didn't have to come in and do. When she had to go to the bathroom, she didn't have to ring the button and wait for somebody. I got her up and I got her to the bathroom. When she had an accident, I cleaned her up. We didn't have to push a button and wait for somebody to come in
and
do
that. And I bet the nurses and staff were like, oh, thank you.
Well, yeah, they'd get me warm blankets, and they were happy that they had a caring family member there. But now with COVID protocol, can't have the family there.
Well, and I can tell, I'm pretty sure this person, she'll know, she listens to the podcast. She ended up at Kootenai. She got really dehydrated. She had tested positive for COVID. Not herself, but, you know, family member did. And then she got really sick. She couldn't get up. She couldn't get her clothes on. So she got taken there. And her boyfriend stood outside, figured out which room she was in that luckily had a window, and was bugging her and calling them, can I speak with the nurse that's in charge of so-and-so? And then I'm on the texting with the nurse friend I have to ask, would she get admitted? What should we ask for? So apparently if your blood oxygen is not below 90%, most hospitals in this area will not admit you. But she told us what type of IV to ask for, what antibiotics to ask for, and a prescription for anti-nausea meds. And not everyone's that lucky, but did she get good treatment? Yeah.
I think you're right. I think a lot of this is self-induced for financial reasons. I think somebody wants the bad press. Somebody wants to be able to say, oh, look at conservative Idaho. Their hospitals are full, and they're going to have to go on crisis care management for their hospitals. I think that this is all politics.
Which is so sad. And there's another rumor going around, and I want to mention it because I'd love for someone in a position of power to tell me it's not true, but that the doctors and administrators at Kootenai Health have discussed, should they implement triaging vaccinated versus non-vaccinated people differently. I'm hoping the people that overheard this like misunderstood or different contexts, because if they think they had protests outside their hospital, if this is found to be true, oh, bring it on. That's just wrong on so many levels. I'm hoping it's just someone trying to badmouth them.
Yeah, you know, I something like that, until I see it in print
right
from the hospital, I'm just not going to believe it. You know, I'm just going to dismiss that one as folklore until I actually
sure hope
see
so, yes.
Yeah, because that just wouldn't be right for the hospital to say, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't get vaccinated, so we're not going to save your life.
Well, and to me, it incentivizes lying.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you won't get the truth out of people.
Right, right.
You need people to be truthful, even if it's painful, when you come in with an emergency. If you're not truthful, how can they help you?
So we're going to come full circle here. So the people serving on the hospital board for Kootenai Health are elected. They go through a vetting process and they get elected, and they have a say in how that hospital is run. Just the same.
But do they? Because I've been wondering with a lot of school boards and city councils, is the CEO wagging the tail? I always say that wrong. Or is it the other way around?
Right.
I've just gotten the impression the last couple of years that they're the rubber stamp again. You know, and that concerns me, and I don't know that board that well.
When I was running for office, there was a lot of issues. A lot of the campaigning that took place was so-and-so was just rubber stamping. And you get a lazy city councilor, and they go in, and they don't really want to argue and scrape and scuff it up and read.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reading. When you're a city councilor, there's just thousands of pages you've got to read. I mean, right out the gate, even a small city is going to have 5,000 or 6,000 pages.
Oh, you should ask like Ron Mendive or Vito Barbieri how much they read for just a part of a year legislative session. It's amazing.
So if you're not going to be able to commit the time to do the job, don't raise your hand and run for it.
Yeah.
That's the problem right there, because we get a lot of people, they go into the position, they haven't done the reading, and they don't know how to have the argument. When I went on council, I read everything. And I read everything long before I had to raise my hand and get sworn in. So then when I sat down in the work sessions and my fellow counselor across the way, Mr. Crazy Man Brian, would say something that I knew was against the standard operating procedure, I could quote chapter and verse. At that time, I'd have to flip open the book, but I knew where in the book to flip it open. This is why this can't happen. And then I would point to the city attorney. The attorney would say, yep, Ed's right. And Brian would get mad. He'd go to the newspaper and he'd say, Ed's trying to change the system. No, Ed was making sure that the rules were adhered to. And then what happens is good people say, screw this. I'm not going to take this abuse week after week after week. Does the board at the hospital have the power? Oh, you bet you do. Does city council, do they have the power? Yes, they do. Does the school board have the power?
You need to have,
absolutely.
You need to have the spine to stand up and
that's
do the
right
thing.
You look what's happening to the folks over at NIC on the board of trustees. They have the power too. But in the majority, they're just being beaten profusely about the head by
and
the media.
I think in the Lakeland School District, the board's disagreeing with the superintendent. So then the person that used to have a certain person's spot did a recall.
Right. Yeah.
Because we don't like what you're doing. And from what I've read, in my opinion, they're asking questions that have been asked in a while. They're asking for procedures to be followed. And then, you know, God forbid we try to do the right thing.
Well, and a lot of this is the cancel culture ideology.
Yeah.
You know, if we just threaten a recall, then it'll stop you from doing it. And that's what they did to us in Fairview. They actually implemented a recall. They started to do a signature gathering campaign against the three of us, the mayor and the two of us that got appointed to city council. They were trying to recall us. Well, they couldn't get enough signatures because I wasn't afraid to go to the press.
Yeah.
Because I had a voice. It was just a blog site. I can't imagine how effective I would have been had I had a podcast then. All I had was a blog site, and I had more subscribers than the newspaper. But it was through the dissemination of information that I was able to defend myself against the onslaught that came with the people who wanted to fundamentally transform America, in our case, the city.
And that reminds me, as of the beginning of the fair, which was in August, over half the signatures needed for the Bill Brooks recall had happened. The deadline's coming up soon. We'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah. Well, once we get through that, that would be a topic worth exploring. You want to share anything else with the listeners?
If you didn't listen to the Health Freedom Idaho Forum last weekend that Ed was the MC of, I've been listening to the podcast because I was very busy that day, and it's really good stuff. I'm trying to think of what else is going on. There is next weekend, I feel like I'm an extra promoter for Health Freedom Idaho. They're having a memorial at McEwen Field to just kind of honor everyone that's been injured by vaccines. I think that's a important part of the discussion that people tend to discount, where, you know, we do need to keep the science and stuff in mind, but the people that poo-poo personal experiences and poo-poo injuries from vaccines, they do happen and they do need to be not dismissed or canceled, but to be part of the conversation.
Well, that's right. Who's that rapper, Nicki Minaj? I don't know. It happened last night. She spoke about her friend's friend had a reaction from the vaccine. I guess his testicles.
My God, I was trying to block that out.
Don't
mind me.
Sorry,
TMI.
Sorry. But anyway, he had a medical reaction to the vaccine, and it caused an issue with his fiance who dumped him. And she simply said, do your research, make an informed decision. And oh my God, the media just went to town on her. But because she's got 22 million some followers, she's able to just stick a middle finger up in the air and say, no, I said what I said and I meant it. But
that's the only good thing she's done so far, because if it's thinking of the right person.
Well, I don't even know her name.
When people say her name, I'm just like, ew. And there's certain words I can't even say in a podcast that would immediately come to mind to describe her.
No, you know, I think what we're struggling with right now is people have forgotten how to be civil, how to have a discussion with
and
one
give
another.
Give each other grace.
That's right. It's okay to disagree. it's okay to still be friends just because they happen to side with the Republicans versus the Democrats or vice versa.
Well, I think even within the Republican Party, gosh, I prefer a different candidate than you. Oh, no. And sometimes it's like, well, tell me why. Because you might think your friend's totally off their rocker, and they might think, but you might learn new stuff.
And it's only when we can have those discussions that we can all advance the ball.
And I would say, if you don't like a voter guide, make your own. Or go, hey, now I have all the names of a certain group of people. I'm going to research them. Look them up. Pray about it. You don't have to follow it, but it gives you a place to start.
And I'll take it one step further. If you disagree with anybody's point of view, give me a call, hello@idahospeaks.com. I'll bring you on the air. I'll give you some time to have your say. You got to be reasonable. I'm not going to let you come on and slander or be libelous. But if you've got a solid argument as to why so-and-so should be chosen, I want you to make that statement. The voters should hear that statement. That's what Idaho Speaks exists to do, is to give people a voice.
Well, and I was going to say, what questions would you ask the candidates? I mean, in some of the vetting process for the Central Committee, they ask a lot, but they ask, you can go on their webpage and see, kootenaygop.org, but it's like, tell us about yourself. Do you have experience as an elected official? What have you done? Have you voted for any other party than Republican? Where have you been engaged in the community? Are you fiscally conservative? Are you socially conservative? This one cracks me up because of the sheriff's race previously, because it says, do you have a history of tax liens, criminal record, or conflict of interest? Because I just think everybody's going to say no regardless. Right. I guess I don't have much faith in the truthfulness of that question. And then please describe how you would make yourself available to your constituents and how you would communicate with them. There's one I'm going to recommend they add on. You can always tell a precinct person, hey, or email the Central Committee and say, hey, you guys should really consider this because it's an evolving thing.
Absolutely. You remember the questions we used to get asked at the airport? Is this your luggage? Did you back your luggage?
See, now the type of person I am, I'm like, I want to like see if I gave them the wrong answer, what would happen? One time I went through security and I had a 3-year-old and I had literally wiped his bum. And they're like, something's on your hand. And I just stood there going, what do I say? And I go, I just wiped his bum. And he had a bowel movement. And my older child goes, she has poop on her hands. But he said the other word. And the TSA agent's just like looking at me, trying not to laugh. But I'm like, you literally, I did use soap and water, but maybe your things showed I didn't wash my hands well enough.
That's funny. I'll share a story about my TSA experience with my wife's luggage in our next episode. So thank you, Summer, for coming on. I really appreciate your time. I also appreciate everything you do. I think you work super hard. You're doing a yeoman's job with all of the communications that you're handling. The NWPOA event that I heard that you ran last week was just a stunning performance, an outstanding success. So good for you for being involved in the community and doing your part. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've reached the end of the episode, but not the end of the issue. Please share this episode with your friends and family. If you have questions or would like to share your own issues and ideas, visit www.idahospeaks.com and click Share an Issue. Your state, your voice, Idaho Speaks.